from the question of Christian imagery in the Hobbit movie to the question of how much sin can a believer commit and still be a believer? We'll cover it all today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it's great to be with you today on this day after Christmas and just a few days before the new year. Hope that you had some good family time. And for those for whom this is a spiritual time of the year, hope you had some good time, a spiritual level as well. We're covering a bunch of different things today, but two main topics, and I want to get your feedback on these. Number to call 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And we are live, God willing, today, tomorrow, and Friday, as well as New Year's Eve next week. And then we'll have a special New Year's Day program for you that'll stir your heart. And then a special program the next day, as I'll be traveling to Hong Kong. And then I'll be spending a full week there, actually be there over a week, but a full week teaching Chinese pastors from the mainland in Hong Kong, teaching the Book of Jeremiah to about 40 pastors. So I really would appreciate you praying. Again, it's a long trip. The schedule will be a pretty intense schedule. We plan to broadcast live from Hong Kong as well, which would be basically 3 to 5 in the morning, Hong Kong time. So, yeah, I know it's a little bit ahead of schedule, but if you could be praying, that would be great. Okay, two questions I want to put forth today, and then some other news items I want to comment on. One is the question of the movie The Hobbit. One Christian posted on my Facebook page wondering, okay, there's a Christian tradition behind the movie, Tolkien, just like the Christian tradition behind Lord of the Rings from Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, and C.S. Lewis being friends and colleagues. Of course, the extraordinary Christian imagery in The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. Christian imagery in Lord of the Rings, does that come through in the movies? Now The Hobbit. The question was, is this a good movie for Christians to see? Is there a Christian message in it? But you have wizards, you have good wizardry. Isn't that the demonic realm? How could that be good and right? So that's one question we want to put forward. By the way, I don't have a major opinion on this, but I do want to hear from you. You can also weigh in on my Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on Facebook. The other question I'll come to in a little while has to do with that of, can you be a practicing, willful sinner and a follower of Jesus at the same time? If you say, well, obviously not, well, then does that mean that we are saved by grace and kept by works? How does that work out? An email question that I didn't get to on Friday that I wanted to, that we'll take up today as well. Okay, one general comment. I don't know if you've been following what's been happening in England with the push to redefine marriage and legalize same-sex so-called marriage in England. When I say so-called, it's not because I don't believe that there are gay couples that love each other. It's simply that it's not marriage. If it's not the union of a man and a woman, it is not marriage, and it is not what God intended. Well, there was concern in England that there would be a push to make it mandatory for churches to perform weddings, as opposed to, well, they don't have to if they don't want to. Well, basically, to keep the Church of England out of that difficult situation, the government said, okay, what we're going to do is this. We're going to make it illegal for the Church of England to perform same-sex so-called marriage ceremonies. And then many in the Church of England said, oh, but what if we want to? I mean, some of us want to have that option. What a complete and ridiculous mess, especially for the Church of England. And by the way, nationally, there's great division over this, just as there is in France, as France seeks to push forward with this as well. What a day and age we're living in. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so my question for you, if you have seen The Hobbit movie or if you've read the related books by Tolkien and you'd like to weigh in, or if you haven't seen it but just have a strong feeling as to whether this is good for Christians to go see, either just, hey, it's a good, clean movie, or it has a powerful Christian message, or no way, it's mingled with the dark side and glorifies the dark side, give me a call, 866-348-7884. I've got some posts from people on both sides about this. I printed out an article by Michael Haverlick on One News Now, making reference to a book that argues for a strong Christian message through The Hobbit. 866-348-7884. Before we begin that discussion, I am working on a book all the more earnestly these days on what I would call the hyper grace message. I embrace, I love, I enjoy, I revel in, I appreciate the biblical message of grace. I do not live under a cloud of condemnation. I can't remember living under any such thing for decades and decades. I don't live with a sense of legalistic performance expectations that if I don't pray enough or read the Bible enough or try hard enough to be holy that God won't like me. I don't relate to God like that. I love the message of grace. I revel in the fact that my sins have been forgiven, not because of my efforts, but because of what Jesus has done. And I also understand that the grace message biblically calls me to live a holy life, to live a life empowered by God, to please Him in thought, word, and deed, and that there is a calling to walk worthy of the Lord, and that there are serious consequences for walking in sin, and that the grace message has promises and warnings as well. I'm very concerned and grieved about, again, what I would label hyper-grace. Some of the aspects of the hyper-grace message are that your sin does not affect your relationship with God. Again, it's a bizarre concept to me. I wonder what kind of relationship someone can have with God and say that sin does not affect it in terms of a quote, relationship, which is two-way. Another aspect of the hyper-grace message is to say that your future sins have already been forgiven at the cross on a practical level. In other words, not just that Jesus paid for them, but it has already been put in your account as forgiven, and therefore you never ever have to deal with sin, that you don't have to confess sin to God, you don't repent of sin because your sins are already forgiven and God sees you as completely righteous. That's another abuse of the message. Another abuse of the message is the frontal attack on the Old Testament and the attack on anything having to do with law, God's law, and then even a rejection of the teachings of Jesus as being Old Covenant. Yeah, this is some of what is being taught in the hyper-grace camp, and I'm reading it in book after book after book. And one of the ugliest things about it is that the moment you question it or challenge it, you are immediately branded a legalistic, Pharisee, down-in-the-dumps, religious, joy-stealing, negative person. Probably goes, well, I give you quotes stronger than that, to be honest with you. And therefore, when you just say, you know, I see the word saying this, that, oh, you're just persecuting the liberty we have in Jesus. And I'm reading a lot so I can understand what people are saying as best as possible, see the good they're trying to do, and counteract the bad. Well, here's a question from another side of the issue that Donna sent in. I was just listening to your show, referring to December 19th show, about practicing homosexuals who are Christians, or claim to be Christians. You mentioned that because they are practicing or are continuing in a sexual relationship with a partner of the same sex that they cannot be disciples of Christ. What about those who have accepted salvation through Jesus Christ but continue on in their sin and do not repent? Are they still saved? Are they still going to go to heaven? I thought that once you accepted salvation through Jesus Christ, that you could never lose your salvation. What about murderers, idolaters, liars? If they've accepted salvation through Jesus Christ but continue on in their sin, are they still saved? I know that the Bible says that these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but what if they accepted Jesus Christ? What about someone who was saved, who has backslidden into sin and is instantaneously killed in an accident with no time to confess, repent of their sin? Are they still saved? What about someone who has been in a constant battle with addiction and dies during a relapse? Are they still saved? Donna, those are very important questions, especially the examples you give at the end. And I know that many folks that I'm speaking with now do struggle, and they struggle habitually, and they struggle mightily. And they would say to the core of their being, they want to please God, but find tremendous weakness and do things they hate. Does that mean they were never saved? Does that mean they have lost their salvation? Does it mean no matter what they do, they can't possibly lose that salvation? Those are good questions, and we're going to interact with them, and I'll give you my own convictional views on those as well as the broadcast unfolds. But that's my other question for all of you listening. What do you think? Can you be a true follower of Jesus? By true follower of Jesus, I mean if you were to die, you'd be with him forever. A saved person, a born-again person, child of the Father, born into the kingdom of God. Can you be a genuine follower of Jesus and yet live in willful, unrepentant, habitual sin? Or does that mean you were never saved? Or does that mean you've lost your salvation? Or is it wrong to even raise the question of one's salvation based on how one lives, because that would be mixing apples with oranges, according to some, that you're saved through receiving the free gift of God in Jesus, and it doesn't necessarily affect your life, although it should. Where do you stand on that? 866-348-7884. Yeah, I decided to throw both questions out for discussion, and I think that, my dear listeners, you are sharp enough to be able to go back and forth depending on calls and issues that people want to raise. So we're going to go to the Hobbit momentarily, but first let's address this willful sinner question, get some feedback. And I do have some strong views on this. I will weigh in, but first I want to hear from you. We'll start with Janice in Dumfries, Virginia. Thanks, Janice, for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for receiving my phone call. Merry Christmas.
You're blessed to be on the air together. I'm blessed to have you on the air, and Merry Christmas to you as well. It was the day after Christmas, so I was thinking, what's the appropriate day after Christmas, post-Christmas blessing? But, yep, Happy New Year, coming New Year to you. Yeah, so what's your take, Janice?
Well, now, when you said unrepentant sin, that changed my response totally, because at first, I was going to say, yes, everybody with a belly button sins. Every Christian I know sins. There are variations such as trespass versus transgression, regularity, frequency, and then God doesn't look at it this way from what I understand, but there are also varying degrees of egregiousness when you sin. Mm-hmm. But there are no sinless Christians. Now, when you threw in the part about never repenting, ooh, that changed the dynamic totally.
All right.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. So what's your take? If someone tells you they're following Jesus, and yet they say, "Look, I like getting drunk, and I like being violent, and I'm going to keep doing it, and no one can stop me." And in fact, hang on, Andrew, do you have that clip ready? Let me know, all right, just take a listen to this. This is a Christian rapper named Skrip. And he is questioning another rapper named Game, who claims to have been born again, but still wants to keep his sin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Take a listen.
I don't want to feel like I can't love God or appreciate, you know what I'm saying, Jesus, and have to put down my blunt. I want to smoke, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, shower up, then go to church. You know, get the word, walk out of church, maybe smoke again, maybe hit a strip club or two, and, you know, do me. But I don't want to be ridiculed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's only one truth and no in between. I took a look at my watch, it's time to intervene. Only God can judge you, but if that's the case, then we must prepare to shrivel before his face. There's a final destination, like whether you a child of the dark or light, or sure that you living right. If you have an ear, open wide and hear me though. Yeah.
All right. We just jumped in there. Scrip is spelled S-K-R-I-P. Janice, we'll resume our discussion right on the other side of the break, and I will get to all of you who want to weigh in on this. We'll start here in the Willful Sin issue, and then we'll move over to the Hobbit issue. But here you have someone saying, this rapper, Game, and then Scrip is obviously criticizing that, saying, hey, I want to go to church, and I want to go to the strip club, and I don't want to be ridiculed for it. Would we say that person has never known the Lord? They need to be discipled? Or if they know the Lord and continue to walk like that, they've lost their salvation?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. A little later in the program, we're going to talk about the question of the Hobbit movie. Is it Christian? Is it strong in Christian imagery? Is it satanic? Should Christians see it, avoid it, promote it? Right now, we're asking the question about, can someone be a willful practicing sinner, obviously justifying what they're doing on some level, and be a follower of Jesus at the same time? 866-348-7884. So we were talking with Janice in Dumfries, Virginia, before the break. So someone says to Janice, let's take a different example. Here's a guy who's been saved 5 years, and he says, look, I like pornography, I'm into pornography, and I download it and watch this and lust after it, and hey, I'm saved by grace, no one's going to take that away from me, and this is just part of what I do. What would you say to that person?
I would probably say to him that he might be self-deceived, that his faith is a sad faith, that it sounds like he wants the blessings of salvation without the responsibilities.
Can you have that? Can you have the blessings of salvation without having the responsibility, which means without having Jesus as your Lord?
Of course not.
Okay. Well, hey, Janice, I'm with you. I'm absolutely okay with you on the of course not. Many people would not, because they think, well, salvation is a gift, and if you put any requirements with it, then it's works, and they misunderstand that salvation is salvation from sin. Again, it's like I'm flying to Hong Kong next week, God willing. If someone says, okay, here are free tickets to go, well, if I go, I'm going to end up in Hong Kong. So being saved is a transaction where we go from our will to God's will. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in and starting off our post-Christmas broadcast. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Carlton in Staten Island. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for your ministry, your show. I love
you bet.
It.
Thank you, sir.
I will let you know, I did get the book, How Saved Are We? It's compelling. I suggest everybody that's listening get it and read it. Soak it up. Regarding today's issue, I like it, because at what point do we categorize sin? You know, if somebody willfully engages in a public sin, is that worse than somebody who is willingly, you know, not passionately following Christ and, you know, doing what it takes to be a disciple, abiding in his word, seeking to obey him, seeking to, you know, fulfill the Great Commission, and to love people as Christ loves us?
Well, you know, this is what it would work out to, and I would use this as an analogy. There may be someone who's working a job and is selfish in terms of doing it. All they care about is their own paycheck, and they have no vision for the company whatsoever, but they still, you know, clock in 9 to 5 and do their work. Well, they're not going to get fired unless they blatantly break the rules. You've got someone else who is caught stealing and defacing the building and vandalizing. Well, that person is going to get fired. So the Word of God does tell us that, for example, in 1 Corinthians 5, if someone claims to be a follower of Jesus and they are living in willful outward sin and they refuse to repent, then that person is disfellowshipped. They are put out of the body with the goal to bring them to repentance so that they wake up to the reality of their sin. If someone secretly is going through the motions of being a follower of Jesus, if someone secretly really doesn't have a heart for the Lord, they don't pray, they don't read the Word, they're not going for the lost, well, that's something that God is going to know and deal with in terms of really calling that person to himself. But we do categorize because certain things are known. In other words, if someone is just thinking wrong thoughts about another person but not acting on them, we don't know that unless there's a change in the conduct. God knows it, and they'll have to deal with God, but there's no dealing with that sin itself. If it's now manifest where someone is sinning against me and I can reach out to them and try to restore or bring them to repentance, that would be the difference. But hey, Carlton, the goal is that we all live like disciples, no question. And when we stand before God, it won't be my standard or yours, it'll be his. All right, I want to take some more calls on this, and then I've got questions piling in on my Facebook page about The Hobbit. We'll talk about that as well. But before I get to any more calls, for those whose listening time is limited, you're sitting in the car in the driveway because you want to hear what I have to say before the break. This is what is my great concern in the body today. My great concern is that we have so lost consciousness of God, fear of God, understanding of godly standards, understanding of what it means to be a God-pleasing person, to walk in ways that are worthy of the Lord, that we excuse all kinds of behavior. In fact, often don't even think twice about it, as if everything's fine and anything goes. We need to go back to the warnings in Scripture to wake us up. And if someone says, I can follow Jesus and live however I want to live, I may miss out on some rewards or something like that, that person is deceived. And Paul warns them, and others in the New Testament warn, don't deceive yourselves, don't be deceived. For someone who's struggled and gone back and forth, and I believe God's heart is extraordinarily compassionate, and that there is often a difference between weakness and wickedness. In other words, the person who says, I know this is wrong, and I'm going to do it, and the person who says, I don't want to do this, please help me not to do it, and they fall and they say, God, what I did is wrong. I confess it. I recognize it. I need your help. I want your grace. I believe God over and over and over and over and over reaches out to those who are struggling. But to those who choose sin, if you choose sin and live in it, then you are thereby rejecting Jesus, the Savior and Lord. It's really that simple. And he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? If someone goes on persisting in unrepentant sin, either they've never known the Lord or they've turned away from the Lord. But of this I'm sure, if they go on in unrepentant, willful, persistent sin, they will not be with the Lord in the world to come. That much is sure. And that much is something that none of us ever have an excuse for. God's grace is sufficient. Would you help me with this trip to Hong Kong, ministering to mainland Chinese pastors, teaching them the book of Jeremiah? You can be blessed yourself as well. For your gift of $50 to help me in this ministry to mainland Chinese pastors, we'll send you my 550-page Jeremiah commentary, plus two DVDs of teaching on Jeremiah that are not available to the public that will bless you and help deepen your understanding of the book. $50 postage paid. I think it's about $60 or $70 of resources. We'll pay the postage as well, but you'll be helping me minister to mainland pastors in China. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org and click on the online bookstore.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. We're talking about Christians, professing Christians, living in willful sin. Someone saying they're followers of Jesus, and yet, as this rapper now who says he's come to Jesus, says, hey, I still want to drink or smoke or go to strip clubs or do whatever, go to church, do that, don't want to be ridiculed. I mean, that is part of the bad fruit of the compromised message that has been preached from so many pulpits and across the airwaves and online for so many years now, that we get these spiritual monstrosities. I'm not calling the person a monstrosity, I'm calling the thing a monstrosity. This idea of, yeah, go to church, go to strip club, don't want to be ridiculed for it. Hey, it's one thing if someone is on their way to finding the Lord, if someone is on their way to coming to faith, if someone has never known the Lord and now God's dealing with them, and the person responded to an altar call or prayed a prayer, and we branded them believers, maybe they're still seeking and on their way and just trying to work these things through. When they're truly born again and really encounter God, those things are going to change. The seed of God is going to be in their hearts. And if there's any type of proper discipling, just helping them get closer to the Lord and learn biblical values, you better believe they are going to live differently. And if they don't, well, either they're never truly born again, or whatever they had, they turned away from. The warnings in the New Testament are as explicit as could be, and I didn't put them there. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm glad they're there. These are God's holy words, but I didn't put these here. Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? That it is not talking about getting a reward. It's talking about going to heaven, being with the Lord, being in his kingdom forever. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men practicing homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's clear. Because those who are living like that have not demonstrated true life in Jesus. And if they had it, they have forfeited it, which is a genuine possibility put forward in the New Testament. 866-348-7884. Seiko in Houston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call, sir.
You bet.
I look forward to having you on my show to talk about this issue a little bit regarding, you know, gay Christianity, which is kind of
yes,
like...
Yes, sir. Yeah, looking forward to it later this month. Yeah.
Yes, sir. You know,
next
what
month.
You just
yeah.
said, what you just said is basically, you know, the sentiment of my heart. And I see the reason why you have so many enemies, because you don't pull punches when it comes to sin. So I'm glad I'm joining in the ranks with you. But, you know, when you talk about unrepentant sin, you know, and I think that's what the key word that the other caller, I think Janice had mentioned, was that, you know, when you talk about unrepentant sin, a willful unrepentant sin, when we just refuse to repent, then, you know, your salvation can be questioned. I'm one of holds to the, you know, the lordship salvation, you know, camp, if you want to use that term. I do not believe that you can, you know, you can have Christ as your Savior but not have him as your Lord. It's both and. It's not either or. So if I've come from a life of being a whoremonger and I get saved, you know, and I say that I've, you know, accepted Christ, but I go back to this whoremongering lifestyle, then have I truly been saved? You know, I remember Paul in Romans 7, Paul had sin issues. I think sometimes we forget that, but Paul said he struggled with sin, but he said he concurs with the law. He loves the law. He understands that the law is holy, righteous, and good. But then he says he has this issue, this war with his flesh. But he says, I don't want to do the things that my flesh wants me to do. I want to do the thing that the Spirit tells me to do. So,
right, and the ultimate offshoot of that, you know, because Romans 7, as you know, as a pastor, you know there's theological debate. Is he talking about his old life or life under the law or just struggles as a believer? That's debatable. But we know, like you say, number one, he affirms God's law, recognizes the rightness of it, and then shows us in Romans 8 how to live lives overcoming the flesh and sin. All right, thank you for the call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with us on this first day after Christmas. Our first call said, Merry Christmas. It was after Christmas, and I was thinking of the right response. And anyway, I just kind of got tongue-tied for a moment in terms of, well, it's almost Happy New Year. But anyway, here we are. First day after Christmas, 866-348-7884. You see, I'm not a Calvinist, but I don't get into a battle with my Calvinist friends over the question of perseverance of the saints in terms of holiness. What I mean is this: a Calvinist does not believe in once saved, always saved. They believe in perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints says if you are truly saved, you will persevere in living a holy, godly life, a life of obedience to the Lord. And if you don't, if you fall away, then we will know that you're a true believer if you return. If you never return, then you were never a true believer. Well, I differ with that in that I believe someone can turn away from God that once knew the Lord, and I believe there are clear New Testament warnings for that. Yes, you have to fight. You have to willfully reject him. You have to push Jesus, the Lord, away. But I would say that he can be rejected, whereas a Calvinist would say, well, that person was never saved. But the reason that I find harmony with my Calvinistic friends here is because we would both emphasize that true followers of Jesus cannot and will not live in persistent, willful, unrepentant sin. And I'd just like someone who differs with me on this point, who says, well, no, you can still be saved even though you're living a wicked, rebellious life and reject Jesus as Lord and become a Buddhist serial killer. You're still saved if you ask Jesus into your life. Please give me one verse, anywhere in the Bible, that promises eternal life to an unrepentant sinner, that says to someone who chooses wickedness, chooses rebellion, don't give me a theological thought, well, you know, once you make a son, you can't unmake a son or something. No, I didn't ask for that. One verse, just one verse, anywhere, where God promises eternal life and eternal blessing to a willful, God-rejecting rebel. One verse. I challenge you to find it anywhere in the Bible. 866-348-7884. Brenda in Columbia, Maryland. Thank you for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, that's you.
Hello. I'll be right back. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Brenda in Columbia. Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
That's good. Just in response to, and by the way, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you.
In response to what we were talking about regarding, you had asked the question, if a person is, can they willfully, if they know they're willfully sinning, okay, and still be a follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, we as Christians have no right to ridicule anybody, to judge anyone. God is the righteous judge. That's number one. Number two, the answer to that for me is no. I mean, if you don't know, and then God, you point somebody to Jesus, Jesus does the rest. He says, I am the true, I am the way, you know, I am the life.
Yep.
No one can come to the Father but by me. However, we as Christians have no right to judge others and know they can't willfully sin and then be for themselves a Christian, because everybody, you know, grows in spiritualities at different paces. Number one. And number two, the more and more you get into the Word, the more and more you're going to hate sin anyway. God said we can't be lukewarm. We have to be hot. We have to be hot or cold. He said we can't be lukewarm. So, you know, that's my response to that. So we pray for our fellow Christians. We have to pray for each other. God said when we mourning, we must mourn together. When we have joy, we must be joyous together, be happy for one another.
Mm-hmm.
But we dare not judge other people who are trying to make their way, because, you know, everybody that's a Christian, they have a story to tell. They've been through something, and
mm-hmm.
that's why, you know, they have a testimony to tell, and that's where they got to become a Christian. So, and this is a kind of...
Right,
really
so you're encouraging other believers to be compassionate and patient.
Absolutely,
with people.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. So, and because God wants us to know as believers that we are to look, he loves the Lord. As well as he loves the Lord. You know, and he wants us to reach out to the Lord. Not
right.
to ridicule them and to judge them, but to reach out to them.
Got it.
And pray for them, you know.
Right. All clear. Hey, Brenda, I appreciate you weighing in. God bless you, and a happy new year to you as well. Yeah, but by all means, we need to exercise compassion, patience, helping others. Galatians 6, if someone's caught up in a fault or a sin, then those who are spiritual should restore that person. They want to do it meekly and gently. They don't want to do it in a judgmental, condemning way, lest they find themselves on the same end of that same problem. That does not mean we do not hold high standards. That does not mean that we do not preach high standards. It means that we deal with compassion towards those who are new and those who are struggling. 866-348-7884. Mary in Gainesville, Virginia, thank you for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I do have one scripture for you. If you could shed light, Paul says, I turned him over to Satan. This was a man who was in gross sin.
Yep.
I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. So that scripture, I'm sorry I don't have a reference, but I know it's there.
Yeah, of course. And it's 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter.
Okay. And I was also going to add 1 Corinthians, 5th chapter.
Yes,
okay,
1 Corinthians,
gonna add the thief
chapter
on the
5.
Cross. I was going to add the thief on the cross had no opportunity to do any good work. And Jesus said today, you know, you'll be with me in paradise.
Right. So what did he do? He did two things. He recognized his sin, that they were deserving of the punishment, and he recognized who Jesus was. That he was not a fellow sinner. He got whatever revelation he could, right?
Yes.
So absolutely, right. Amen to that. We do not earn our salvation by good works. This much I know, though. Let's just say that suddenly they said, hey, everyone was just pardoned, and they take the thief down off the cross. If he had genuinely come to faith in Jesus and repented of sin, he would not have continued on as a thief.
More likely. But what if he was the one who Paul was talking about? I had to turn him over to Satan.
Right.
For the
so let's look at that account. There is a man who was in a sexual relationship with his father's wife. And the Corinthians thought, hey, you know, we have liberty, we can do this. So Paul said you should be in mourning over this. Excuse me, you should put this man at a fellowship. So this is what he says. He's passed judgment on him in the name of the Lord Jesus, because the man would not repent. And he says, so when you're assembled and I'm with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. So this is Paul's hope. There's no guarantee of this man's salvation. But the hope is by turning him over to Satan so that Satan will now destroy his body, that he will come to repentance, recognizing the horror of his sin and the horrific consequences of his sin, that he's not given over to the Lord, now he's given over to Satan. The hope is that there'll be repentance and turning. But Paul's not saying here's the guaranteed way to get him into heaven, have Satan destroy his flesh and he gets into heaven. Why would that get him into heaven?
May I ask you a question? Why would he say that his spirit may be saved?
Maybe. That's the hope.
Well, can I ask you this? Because I'm totally with you in heart, but if we're saved by grace and our righteousness is filthy rags to God, even though that man made the wrong choice and his life was a mess because it was turned over for the destruction of his flesh, he got there. He's the one who forfeited the knowing God, you know, being with God on earth that in a better way, so that his, you know, flesh didn't have to be turned over to Satan. He's the one who lost out. But when he gets to heaven, is God going to say, okay, your righteousness is filthy rags? So what is, you know, he said grace is, you're saved by grace, not by works, that no man can boast.
All right, so Mary, what does that mean? Let me explain it to you.
That means that, let me explain.
You asked me, let me explain. Being saved by grace, not by works, does not mean that God does not require us to live a certain way. It means that I could do a million good deeds and try my hardest, and I'm still not saved. Salvation is a gift, but salvation is a gift with responsibility. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Now, through Jesus, we can live righteous lives. We can live godly lives. The confession that all our righteousness is as filthy rags was a confession of the nation of Israel in blatant sin against God and under judgment. Are you saying now that as a follower of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, carried by God's grace, that what you do in His sight is like filthy rags? No. You're not earning your salvation. You're either saying, Jesus, I reject you as Lord, or I embrace you as Lord. If we reject Him as Lord, we don't belong to Him.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I was responding to an email question that came in from a listener, and I wanted to devote time to it today on this first broadcast after Christmas because I'm spending a lot of time reading books, what I would call hyper-grace. They present a picture of grace, which is beautiful and wonderful, and then go clearly beyond what the scriptures say in such a way that can lead people to be deceived, as if no matter how they live, no matter what they do, it will not affect their relationship with God. That is clearly not what is taught in scripture. And it has nothing to do with the question of salvation by works. Salvation by works is that I work to earn my salvation. But here's a question. When Jesus says, if you confess me, I'll confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you. Well, is confessing Jesus a work? No, that's not a work. A work would be, okay, I'm going to observe the Sabbath more carefully. A work would be, I'm going to give money to the poor. A work would be, I'm not going to tell a lie and be good. That would be salvation by works. And if I do enough good works, I'm saved. No, our debt to the Lord is so infinite. And our inability to pay that debt back so infinite, and God's holiness so infinite, that in a trillion lifetimes, all we do is dig a deeper ditch of damnation for ourselves. Salvation is a free gift, and we receive it freely. And it now brings us from Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom, and is salvation from sin. And receiving that gift, it comes with a responsibility. If you say, okay, great, I'm going to receive the gift of salvation and curse God at the same time. No, of course not. I'm going to receive this gift and deny Jesus at the same time. Well, of course not. Wasn't that salvation by works? Of course not. So the question, if someone says I'm a follower of Jesus and they're living in persistent, willful, unrepentant sin, is it possible for that person to continue in that and continue to be a follower of Jesus? I say the answer is obviously no. The beginning of the broadcast, and what we'll talk about more in the second half of the second hour of the show as well, is the movie The Hobbit. Separate issue. Folks have been asking me, is it a good Christian movie? Does it have a powerful underlying message? Does it mingle in witchcraft? Should believers see it or not? We'll take that up more in the second hour, but our phone lines have been lit up since we raised this issue of believers in willful sin. Our friend Maurice in Somerset, New Jersey, thanks for holding, sir. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Thank you very much for your faithfulness and commitment and righteousness. And all of God's children that are listening, beloved, understand something. When you're talking about salvation, being a doer of God's word is work, because you know the word, you do it. Just being a hearer of His word is sin. And True believers, as that young lady called and said, all believers are liars, that's a lie. There are many righteous believers who stand for righteousness, as even as my brother, and thank God, Rabbi Jonathan and Dr. Brown, we must always stand for righteousness. We must always understand that things you don't need to read if it's heresy. Most important, God's children perish for a lack of knowledge. And if you're going to live as a sinner, it just tells God you really don't love Him. If you love God, you'll be a doer of His word. And we need to love what God loves and hate what He hates. He loves righteousness, and He hates sin. Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Master, your next aspect you must understand, the only thing you don't, God doesn't have once you're born again of you, and this is what you must give him, is your will. Not your will be done, but his will be done. Learn the word, become a believer, and stand for righteousness. Homosexuality is against the word of God. That's not for God. And every believer that's listening, you can go to Revelation chapter 22 and read verse 19 to 20, talk about losing your salvation. When you come against his word, change his word, and just go along with heresy. And that's a horrible thing. Our responsibility at all times as believers is to pray for our brother, and he's going to China. You need to pray for Hong Kong, praying for you, for divine protection over you, and I just need you to get the information because I'm going to send something also to support you, and you got another shirt coming. It's not a problem.
Awesome. Hey, Maurice, thank you so much for standing with us. And when Maurice brought up the issue, and Johnny, if you could just give Maurice, make sure he has our contact info here. In fact, Maurice, just jot this number down to contact our ministry directly, 704-782-3760. Maurice, that's 704-782-3760. And if you missed that, all the info is on our website, askdrbrown.org. Thanks for the call. When Maurice made reference to homosexuality seemingly out of the blue, it was because the email that I was responding to at the beginning of the show was on the heels of questions about two people say, hey, we love each other, we're gay, we're Christian, we want to be together, well, God bless that. That's where that came from. And another shirt, when I was ministering at Maurice's home congregation, he blessed me with a dress shirt. That's what that was about. And I go, another shirt? What, did I miss something on the broadcast? All right. Stand the line, friends. I'm going to get to all your calls on the other side of the break. I'm going to very quickly go to calls. So just stay with me, and you'll be on the air talking to our wonderful Line of Fire listening audience. When I wrote my commentary on the book of Jeremiah, 550 pages, it's part of the New Expositor's Bible Commentary Series. When you get the book, you get it together with commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel. So like 900 pages total. When I wrote the book, I agonized over the role of false prophets, these people who either led Israel to follow other gods or preached a false message about the true God. You can live in all kinds of sin and worship the true God, Yahweh, at the same time. And I had agonized over those passages in years past. When I say agonized, so burdened for our nation and the false prophetic message. I will never call a fellow brother or sister a false prophet. If the person is a brother or sister, they're not a false prophet. False prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing. However, there is a false prophetic spirit mentality attitude in many of our pulpits, which strengthens the evildoers and weakens those with a heart for righteousness, and that is so terribly detrimental. If you are able to help with a one-time gift at the end of this year, it's tax deductible. We would so appreciate it. And in particular, if you could help with us as we prepare to minister in Hong Kong, ministering to mainland Chinese pastors. I'll be teaching the book of Jeremiah to about 40 committed Chinese pastors. Your gift of $50 will send you my Jeremiah commentary, along with 2 hours of special DVD teaching that I did on the book of Jeremiah. So you can watch that, read the commentary. Your gift will help us immensely at this time of the year. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org. And click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if we take the blood of Jesus seriously, let us remember it was our sin that nailed him to the cross. And therefore, let us hate sin just as we love Jesus. From the question of Christian imagery in the Hobbit movie to the question of how much sin can a believer commit and still be a believer? We'll cover it all today on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, this first day after Christmas. Michael Brown coming your way live. We hope to be live today, tomorrow, Friday. I mean, planning on it, everything you trust God day by day. And then coming your way live New Year's Eve, and then a special New Year's broadcast, and a day after New Year's broadcast, one that we will specially play for you as I am en route to Hong Kong, where I'll be teaching mainland Chinese pastors for 7 days. We'd really covet your prayers for that trip. Be teaching the book of Jeremiah. 866-348-7884. Later in the broadcast, we will discuss the question of the Hobbit movie. Is it a good movie to see? Does it have an underlying powerful Christian message? Should Christians stay away from it? Will it get them interested in black magic or the dark side? We'll talk about that later in the show. You can weigh in, though. There is a lively discussion already taking place on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. So if you're on Facebook, just like that page and weigh in. And, oh, it is very, very interesting. I haven't been able to read all the comments, but people are weighing in from every different conceivable viewpoint. Right now, though, here's what we're going to focus on. It's a question that is of great concern to me as I am encountering more and more of what I call hyper-grace. I'm working on it in a book. I've been working on this on and off for months, and then working on other projects and writing an article or two every week for different websites and keeping up with other writing and study, and just have not gotten into real flow for this book. I felt God wanted me to write it. I'm not writing it as God's policeman in the body. I'm not writing it as the man. I'm the man. I'm going to straighten out all these people in there. I will straighten them out. No, it's rather as a servant of the Lord. One of my roles is a teacher in the body. James, Jacob, the third chapter says, those who teach will be judged with greater strictness, greater accountability. So I take these things very, very seriously. And part of my role as a teacher is, if I see error, to correct it, to address it, but not in a way that just tears down and attacks, rather in a way that is constructive, that seeks to identify the error, and then through the life-giving power of the Word of God, to get people on the track of truth. So we want to address deception, but not to attack and criticize, but primarily to correct and put the path of life more clearly in front of people. And what I'm seeing with this hyper-grace message is an attitude that shields believers from ever being corrected, that shields believers from ever receiving rebuke from the Word, that shields believers from coming under conviction. Because, hey, if I'm already the righteousness of God in Christ and my past, present, and future sins are all forgiven and God looks at me as perfectly righteous and loves what he sees and there's nothing I can ever do that can affect that relationship with God. Yeah, if sin is bad, I shouldn't do it. But ultimately, there's nothing I could do that will negatively affect my relationship with God or my future security in him. Well, then if the word of God comes with a word of rebuke, or if someone preaches and it convicts me, well, that's not the law. I'm going to have to reinterpret or rewrite that. In fact, I was actually reading someone's grace paraphrase, as they called it, of some of Paul's letters, and was amazed to see how certain passages just got rewritten to fit a theology. I'm grieved over that. I'm concerned. Can you be a true follower of Jesus and live in willful, persistent, unrepentant sin at the same time?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Well, look, no one that is sincere about following Jesus willfully teaches and preaches error. In other words, have you listened to the radio today or last week or any time in your life and heard a Christian leader get on the radio or TV or behind the pulpit and say, hey, I'm preaching heresy. I'm preaching error. What I'm saying is not accurate and true. No, we all believe, unless someone is a charlatan, we all believe what we're teaching and preaching is true and accurate. Here's a question, though. Does it stand the test not just of a few verses, but of the overall testimony of Scripture? Can we measure that teaching based on consistently what Paul teaches, consistently what Jesus teaches, consistently what's taught in the Word? Or do we have to, well, that verse, kind of avoid that, skip that, ignore that. Big problem. Or, almost as bad, I'll reinterpret that. I'll kind of rewrite that to fit my theology. 866-348-7884. We're not asking, can a believer struggle? Of course, every believer, one time or another, has struggled with some area in their lives, some severely, and some struggled for years. I believe we are overcomers and can overcome, and that none of us have to live in perpetual life and death struggle just to make it through a day, but that can happen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about willful, unrepentant, persistent sin. Can you be a follower of Jesus and walk in that at the same time? Mario in Yonkers in New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to come up and respond on that question. I'm a first-time caller, so please be gentle with me. Again, thank you for all the work that you do. My point is this. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I believe now some people are very happy. They don't really look at that as seriously as you do or I do. To me, that's very important, to give God all my attention. I bring my defects in character, in my thinking, my acting, to him on the altar and say, take this from me.
Mm-hmm.
And if let
me just ask you this, Mario.
Sure.
Can you imagine having a solid relationship with Jesus without having that attitude? In other words, that just the way you love the Lord and want to please him, could you imagine having any kind of serious relationship with him without wanting to live like
that? Person. There is no Christ in that person. He can't be a Christian. A Christian to me means Christ in you.
Mm-hmm.
So you became a Christian. Christ is in you. And how do you get that? It's by loving the Father. But first you have to love, you have to take Christ. I mean, a lot of people don't really know who God is.
Yes.
You know, so if they really want to know, or, you know, you just want to use them for the moment, you know, the society's lost. Morals are gone. You know, there's so much sadness. And I believe what Maurice said. You know, you can't worship two.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's impossible.
Right. So something is clearly wrong with this picture. When you have a guy now, you know, a rap star, and he says, "Hey, I want to go to church. You know, I'm born again." He puts out his new album is about Jesus, and he performs, and he has someone, you know, a Jesus character come out and they put a cross or something at the beginning of the show, and then he gets right from there into profanity, and then he says, "Hey, I want to be able to go to church, and I want to be able to go to the strip club." And I don't want to get ridiculed for it. Now, if the guy was on his way to salvation, God's drawing him in and he doesn't know anything, or if he heard such a watered-down message that he was attracted to Jesus and has even taken baby steps towards coming to know him, well, you just love on that person and you help him. But I think that in some of our circles, that's considered okay. Because we have so lost sight of who God is and what the gospel is, and
I believe
if it's
that all my heart,
Hey, listen, Mario.
Left God. nation has left. I believe America has left Christ.
Yeah, and much of the church sadly has as well. Hey, Mario, thank you for calling in for the first time, and don't hesitate to call again. I appreciate hearing from you. 866-348-7884. He was referring to a call from Maurice in the last half hour, in case you didn't remember hearing from Maurice yourself. Let's go to Ruth in Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I was wondering, could you tell me what would you say the difference is between that rapper and ministers, say, like Joseph Prince, or even the supposed unconditional promises to an Israel below?
All right. So let's start with your second question. The unconditional promises to an Israel below were not for salvation, but for preservation. In other words, God's preserved the Jewish people under judgment, so we may have been preserved around the earth and still not been believers. So we were preserved under judgment. The final remnant that will turn, or the all Israel that will turn at the end of the age, in God's providence, he will see to that happening. But that will only happen still with Israel turning and believing. As for Joseph Prince, though, I've read some of his stuff because folks were talking about him. Some loved his stuff. Some said he was a heretic. I see Joseph Prince as a believer. I would say that his emphasis, the prosperity emphasis of his message, obviously I would say is off base. But I would say he's a believer who teaches some error. For example, the idea that spirituality is effortless, as opposed to recognizing there's often a battle and perseverance required, or some of the hyper grace message. But what he'll say is, and I've just been reading it recently, that if you really love Jesus, you will automatically do above and beyond what the law of Moses requires. So he's not saying it's fine to go to the strip club and to smoke and drink and get high and sleep around and follow Jesus at the same time. He's saying if you really do know him, then you won't do those things. But to tell you, see, here's where I would differ with him and think there's some danger. He's not even going to preach to his congregation, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. He'll just tell them about Jesus and say when you really get to know Jesus, you won't do those other things. The problem is the New Testament also tells us this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, because we need to know. And if we're not getting that clearly taught from the Word, if we're not getting these standards laid out for us plainly, then it's easier to get deceived. It's the Word of God that separates truth from error.
But he does say that if you do these things, it's not going to affect your salvation. He does say that.
Yeah,
and
well, if
I think part of that comes from possibly a doctrine where what I had alluded to, unconditional promises to anybody that's in flesh and blood. I mean, without repentance, for instance, promises to Israel below, I believe we add the below. There's also an Israel above that if promises were directed.
Yeah, but Ruth, yeah, just to hang on, because
as stated in the New Testament.
Right, but Ruth, just hang on. I remember speaking to you because of Las Vegas. I remember speaking to you some weeks back about Israel. So we have differences on that. So I don't want to go in that direction. But God can give unconditional promises. For example, he said he will never destroy the earth again with a flood, even though we sin. It doesn't mean that people don't die and are lost and will go to hell. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that people who survive are saved. It simply means he will not destroy the earth with a flood. Same way he said he would preserve Israel. But if Joseph Prince says you can do all those things and it doesn't affect your salvation, that's dangerous. That does not damn his soul, but that means he's preaching something dangerous and unbiblical. I haven't seen those specific comments, but if they're there, I will as I'm reading his material. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-348-7884. All right, just got 30 seconds before the next break. So Joshua, Shauna, hang on. I want to get to your calls. Tamara and Bob as well. I want to get your calls on the other side of the break rather than rush a call quickly here. But again, let me make as clear as I can, let me make myself plain about the issue. The issue is not one of appreciating God's mercy and grace and kindness. The issue is not one of thinking that if I get someone to try harder and work harder, that they're going to be saved. The issue is that following Jesus means submitting to his lordship. That is part of what salvation is. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, that's foundational. If I reject that, if I consciously reject his lordship, either I was never saved or I am losing my salvation. But I cannot be one of his and actively, consistently, persistently reject his lordship.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I've asked for years, never gotten a response. I don't believe there is one. But I'll ask again, can you give me any promise in the Bible to an unrepentant rebel assuring that person of salvation and blessing? I didn't ask, can you give me statements about God's faithfulness or God's keeping power or no one can pluck us out of his hand or nothing can separate us. I didn't ask for any of that. I asked for a promise to a willful, unrepentant rebel assuring them of salvation and blessing. I say you will not find any such promises anywhere in Scripture. 866-348-7884. Joshua in Everett, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I wanted to just kind of speak about how that woman was talking about Ephesians 2:8-9 about grace. But also in the book of James, it talks about show me your faith by your works. And I know it's not salvation by works, because I'm fully out lordship salvation. And I believe if you're to call Jesus Lord, then you're calling him master, and you must also be his bondservant, we're his slaves. So I believe that Jesus also said that we'll know a tree by their fruit. A good tree won't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree won't produce good fruit. So I do believe there must be good works that follow your faith if you're truly saved.
Right. So again, it's not a matter of earning our salvation. It's a matter of fruit of salvation. When Paul preached repentance in Acts 26, he told Agrippa, that the message he preached was that people should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Genuine repentance means a genuine change of life. So, yeah, we are on the same page there. And if there is no evidence, as James Edwin Orr used to say, the only proof of the new birth is the new life. So we are not saying you earn your salvation. We're saying salvation actually is something that takes place, and it is now something that takes place with responsibility being put on us. It's a free gift, and it's a gift with responsibility. Shauna in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Yes, hello, Shauna, are you there? Yes, you're on the air. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
On the issue of what the topic we're discussing, if people would just get back to reading the gospel, maybe they could read. I try to read the gospels every day to remind me of exactly the way the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life, the words he said to a gamut of people, mm-hmm. and most of them sinners. And one significant thing that he would say every time he would heal people, one example is, I would say, the two Marys, Magdalene and the other Mary, which was Lazarus's sister, the one very thing he would say was, go and sin no more. As to the effect, if you read about the examples of these lives that were healed, and I believe it was also salvation, and they came to believe in the work and who Christ, you know, is, that they actually lived that kind of life. They went and followed after Jesus. They never turned back.
Yeah, you know, Shauna, yeah, let me just jump in and say this. What's very distressing to me and will shock you is I'm reading in some of these books, which I call hyper-grace books.
Right.
I'm reading in some of them that the words of Jesus don't apply to us today because he was an old covenant preacher, and we need to read Paul's grace-filled words. I'm thinking, what in the world are they talking about? You know, and yeah, reading the words of Jesus is not just comfort. It is a wake-up call. It's a challenge because he calls us to follow him, and following Jesus is a radical thing, whether you're like Shauna living in Honolulu or like me, a New Yorker living in Charlotte, North Carolina area. Following Jesus is a radical thing. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Tamara in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Tamara, are you there? Guess we lost her. We lost Bob. Check this out. All right, my buddy Lawrence in Hollywood, Florida. You get the last call of this half hour.
Oh, great, Michael. Shalom.
Shalom.
I believe, you know, once saved, always saved. If you're truly saved, you can't lose it.
Got it.
The question is, are you saved?
If
you live, walk, or practice sin, gives the indication you can't be saved. And it depends on your attitude towards sin. You know,
the
word says that Jesus, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. He's not going to shed any more blood. And I'll remember their sins and iniquity no more. And when you get into 1 John, that fellowship is with the with Christ, the fellowship of the believers. I understand 1 John was written to Asian churches. The assemblies filled with both believers and Gnostics. And the Gnostics had a different interpretation of Jesus Christ, you know, had
right, yeah. So,
the,
so
not
right,
the body.
Right. So, so
what I'm
John
getting
is...
at is when you look at First John, what is it, 1:8-9, when it says sin and sins, when you look it up in the concordance, in Strong's concordance, it's number 266, and it only states sin, singular. So the only thing that could be is unbelief in Christ.
Hang on. Just to give you a quick word about Strong's, they're just going to give you the actual word, okay? So the singular or plural you'd get, you know, for example, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, that is sin, plural. But here, obviously, Lawrence, we differ on the once saved, always saved question, but we don't differ on this, that if someone is truly following Jesus, if someone loves the Lord, if someone is a true follower of Jesus, they will not be walking in persistent, unrepentant sin. And they'll recognize sin is wrong, and they'll want God's help, and they'll want to turn from it. And if they don't, you would say they were never saved. I would say either they were never saved, or they have turned their back on the Lord and forfeited salvation. But sorry, got to run, got a break right here. Okay, we come back. I want to try to get to one or two more calls on this, and then we're switching topics entirely and switching over to the movie The Hobbit. Should Christians see it or not? Is it just playing games with Hollywood, or is there a powerful Christian message coming through Hollywood?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire. First day after Christmas, we're coming your way live. 866-348-7884. The number to call. I hope you had a blessed Christmas season, whether it was just family time for you or spiritual time as well. Hope you had a great time over the break. And I'm excited to be back on the air with you. We've got a few more days before the new year. And then some special broadcasting in the new year. We'll be mixing some pre-recorded broadcasts, some things I want to teach systematically that I think are of great, great importance. And we'll also be coming your way, God willing, live from Hong Kong. It's going to be 13-hour time differential, which means that this hour in Hong Kong will be 4:30 a.m. I'll have to broadcast from 3 to 5 a.m., and then I'll be teaching 40 pastors from mainland China, that'll be over with us in Hong Kong. There'll be three classes going on at the same time, three professors teaching. I'll be doing the book of Jeremiah. We really want to see maximum impact on these pastors. I've heard great things from some of my colleagues who've taught there before. We really want to see God do some special things. So looking forward to coming away live from Hong Kong and then some teaching as well in the first couple of weeks of the new year that I think will really help edify, strengthen you, lay good solid foundations for the year. So thanks so much for joining us. 866-348-7884. The day of the terrible tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, I was going to be answering questions. It was a Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. So this Friday would make 2 weeks. Can you imagine how deep these wounds are right now in these grieving families? That particular day, Q&A scheduled, I was going to take a question that someone had asked me about The Hobbit. Is it a good movie, a Christian movie with powerful imagery? Should Christians see it? How could it be good if it has a wizard as a good figure in it? Well, Tolkien, I mean, C.S. Lewis, didn't they use all kinds of imagery to convey a Christian message? I never got to it. Decided to bring it up again. If you saw the movie, or if you won't see the movie, weigh in. I'd love to hear from you. Should Christians see it? Is there a Christian message in it? I just want to take one quick phone call before we get to that subject, having to do with believers living in willful and repentant sin. Is that possible? A subject we've been talking about the previous hour and a half. And I want to go back to Tamara in Houston. We lost you earlier, but hopefully you're back.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thank you.
That's good. My question is, I have, if you look at what's the difference today with Christians who make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, who say that, and versus, like, if you look at David's life, there is a period in his time when he had an affair, and he was so in his sin that he didn't even realize it was him when Samuel came to him. My question is, what's the difference between him versus Christians today who are so caught up in their sin that they don't even realize that they are?
I appreciate you raising that question. David actually fully knew he was sinning. There's never an indication that he didn't know it. And when Nathan the prophet came to him, in 2 Samuel 12, the prophet just gave him an allegory. He didn't realize the allegory was pointing to him. And that's what he didn't realize. When he realized, he immediately acknowledged his sin. And then he wrote Psalm 51, which is a psalm of repentance. So he recognized his sin and turned from it. If not, we would not be singing the Psalms of David today and reading the Psalms of David. And he would not be recognized as a man after God's own heart. He blew it terribly. As king, he could do whatever in the world he wanted. Blew it terribly. Sin, paid for his sin grievously, but God forgave him. Read Psalm 51. That was his response to his sin.
Cleansing flame, send the
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Okay, I'm not much of a moviegoer. I have seen, well, with the grandkids, Cars 2, and one of the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe trilogy movies. So the first of those with Nancy, and we thought, wow, it's powerful. I don't know how much it would be for kids, but it's powerful. But sometimes while flying, I'll watch a movie. Obviously, it's got to be clean. Otherwise, I'm not much of a moviegoer, and I'm not one to give expert opinion except about certain things that are defiling and destructive. What about the Hobbit movie? 866-348-7884. I saw some parts of some of the Lord of the Rings movies. That's it. While flying, I watched a few Harry Potter. Let me explain. I watched a few of the Harry Potter movies while flying overseas, simply for the purpose of, okay, what's this about? And would this draw people into the demonic or witchcraft or whatever? Because a lot of people said it's harmless and there's just good images in it. And they said, no, that was demonic. Lord of the Rings was good. Others like, no, there's a moral message in all of it. Others like, no, stay away from all of it. Others, how in the world can you possibly compare? Okay, I'm just throwing things out. I mean, I knew I could watch the movie because, number one, I was not going to be drawn in to the witchcraft junk. Number two, because there's not going to be nudity, profanity, or any of those other things. And I remember watching some of these, and I thought, I do not understand how a kid watching this wouldn't want to get into the whole, like, abracadabra stuff. Well, that's magic. Sorry. It shows my profound knowledge there. Wouldn't want to get into the whole, you know, wand and witchcraft and special power. You know, it would just draw you in. I didn't see anything you could say was redemptive through it. Didn't see enough of Lord of the Rings to comment. But now that the Hobbit movie's out, and this is part of Tolkien's legacy, and did he have a powerful Christian message? Did he influence C.S. Lewis? And C.S. Lewis, perhaps the most influential Christian writer of the 20th century. Should the Hobbit be seen as, hey, it's a good, clean movie. Go and enjoy it. Or should it be seen as carrying a subtle and powerful Christian message, or should it be avoided? You know, wizardry or black magic or something like that. I've got an article I'll mention in a moment that talks about a book by Dr. Joseph Pierce, Bilbo's Journey, Discovering the Hidden Meaning of the Hobbit. The article by Michael Haverluck on One News Now. It says, book unearths Christian messages found in The Hobbit. The article says, because much of the deep Christian messages radiating through author J.R.R. Tolkien's fantasy novels are often overlooked by readers and lost on the big screen, Pierce sets out to meticulously explore the spiritual warfare the main character Bilbo Baggins and other characters undergo in the classic The Hobbit. Of course, if you have to open these things up because people are going to miss them, how obvious are they? What do you think? 866-348-7884. I'll read more of this article and excerpts from Dr. Pierce's book, Bilbo's Journey, Discovering the Hidden Meaning of the Hobbit. Before I go to the phones, let me just say this. I am not, may I make this perfectly clear, said it in the last half hour. I want to make myself perfectly clear again. I am not, capital N-O-T, I am not a proponent of, well, you got to know what's in Hollywood if you're going to minister in a relevant way to people. I mean, if you don't know about the latest movies and latest TV shows and what's trending on Twitter, how are you going to reach a sinner? I'll tell you how you reach a sinner. With love, compassion, the power of the gospel, the name of Jesus. That's how you reach a sinner. I'm not looking for some spiritual leader to get up and be so savvy he knows the latest movie, the latest this. I want that person to be full of the Spirit and radiating the character of Jesus and ministering the word of truth. And that's going to draw people, and that's going to change lives. So, well, you got to be relevant. No, you've got to know Jesus and preach him if you want to change lives. live it out and preach it in the power of the Spirit, and lives will be changed and people will be flocking. I guarantee you, if someone was being used by God to heal cancer today in an amazing way, and over half the people they prayed for with cancer were instantly healed, and this person was having a meeting, the people flocking to the meeting and lining up miles away, because the line would be that long of people trying to get into the meeting if people were really being healed, they would not be saying, I wonder if he's going to comment about the latest movie. I wonder if, what kind of wardrobe he wears or she wears. No. They'd just be saying, I want to be healed. And I hear this person knows God and they can pray for me. 866-348-7884. Okay, with that, Mike in Tampa, Florida, you get to be the first to weigh in today on The Hobbit. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for having me. And it's a kind of neat timing for me because I saw the movie last night, and I've sent out several emails to friends and family this morning just on that topic. Because as I was watching the movie, and I just went for entertainment, I didn't go to be moved in any particular way, but it really was impressed upon me what a strong Christian allegory it is. And I want to just hit real what I think the main points are, but I also want to kind of interject a caveat if I could. The main points are the obvious one, which you mentioned, it's spiritual warfare. It's clearly a movie about spiritual warfare, the good and evil battling over our souls. Another main theme that runs through it is the theme of humility and how through Christ, the least can be the most. And along kind of concurrently with that theme is the great scripture, not through power nor might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of a faith theme that runs through there, and you see this average, just so humble everyday man, kind of overcoming these insurmountable odds through humility and through faith and through just giving it your best and trusting on God to do the rest. The caveat I want to interject is, you don't want to go crazy on this stuff. You don't want to say, okay, now which one of these represents Christ? Mm. Which one's John? Let's try to correlate. You just drive yourself nuts. It's entertainment. It's wholesome. It's positive. It's feel good. You can kind of spot the Christian theme. It's about good ultimately triumphing over evil. But you know what I'm saying? You don't want to drive yourself. It's entertainment. They're not advocating with you.
Right. You know what's interesting, Mike, and thanks for weighing in on this. And just to say this to all my listeners, this is not something that I have a strong opinion about because I didn't see the movie yet and I haven't read the Tolkien books. So therefore, I'm putting this out there for discussion and interaction. But you know what's interesting is years ago, I had friends, I'm talking decades back, that were really into a lot of the Tolkien writings and the whole Middle Earth stuff and things that to this day I haven't followed. I guess if I'd watched Lord of the Rings carefully, I would have known about more of this. But they were really into this thing. And one gal, we had this gospel group I was part of. I'd play drums and speak for us. And one of the gals wrote this song because she used to be so into this whole thing. And it was called Your Reality is Better Than My Fantasy. And she basically was just kind of, enough with Middle Earth and all these other things, and I'm just going to follow the Lord. And it's not to say that you can't enjoy the imagery or the allegory and all that. It is to say you get caught up. People do get caught up in it, just like you get the Trekkies with Star Trek. You get these Middle Earth people.
Just to give you an idea to reinforce the thing about Tolkien, this is a real short little poem that I memorized in college. Can I share it with you? And I think you can spot the Christian theme.
Go for it.
All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king. And you can kind of, again, it doesn't hold word for word, tit for tat, but it's kind of a Christian resurrection Jesus theme to that, don't you think?
Yes, I do. But obviously we won't carry it too far. All right. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. According to Dr. Joseph Pierce in Bilbo's Journey, Discovering the Hidden Meaning of the Hobbit. Quote, the most powerful Christian theme is the effect of the dragon sickness on various characters, including Bilbo, Gollum, Thorin, the Master of Lake Town, and, of course, Smaug. Of course, if I'd known it, it would be of course to me, but a lot of this is not Greek, it's Middle Earth, whatever. Quote, the dragon sickness, Pierce says, serves the same purpose in The Hobbit as the ring serves in The Lord of the Rings. It represents the addictive attraction of sin and its destructive consequences, best summarized in an understanding that the thing possessed possesses the possessor. Whereas the gospel says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Okay, I've got a larger Hollywood question when we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's a larger question that I want to throw out about movies. 866-348-7884. Can any good thing come out of Hollywood? Of course, this movie, The Hobbit, that we're discussing, and is there Christian imagery in it? Should believers see it or not? This is what produced and filmed in New Zealand. But putting that aside, I'm using Hollywood generically. Should we just have the attitude of we Christians don't go to movies? Period. It's understood. Christians don't go to movies. When I got saved, that was pretty much the attitude we had in our church, so I lived by that. And movies then were not like today in terms of all the junk, all the trash that's so readily available. But there was enough junk that was out there. And so the policy was just Christians don't go to movies. And I'm sure when that policy arose in these circles in which I got saved, that movies were even less offensive then when this policy first arose. But hey, we're separate from the world. That's just the world. It doesn't matter if you know, sewage is spewing out all over the sidewalk and there's some clean water in the sewage, you don't want to be standing there getting dumped on. That'd be one idea. Another idea would say, well, you can't make a blanket statement. God can work through any different number of genres and styles and mediums. And to just write off the whole film industry would be wrong. And in fact, there are godly writers and producers seeking to put out films with godly messages. And there are others who are not godly, but God can use them to put out a moral message. Or you can have someone that's not a religious or godly person, but they're moved by a Christian story and they want to memorialize that. I mean, did Cecil B. DeMille have to be a committed Christian? I don't know what he believed or didn't believe, you know, to put out Ten Commandments or a Jesus movie or something. Or, you know, one of the most powerful Jesus movies, the director, from what I understand, was gay. So do you therefore not go to the movie? Or just a question for, what do you think? 866-348-7884. Again, for me, anything that would defile me is nothing I want to be entertained by. It's one thing if I'm talking to a worldly person, talking to a lost person, and as we're talking, they're using all kinds of profanity and taking the Lord's name. Well, they're a lost person. You know, I don't enjoy hearing that, but it's fine. I'm in the world. I'm not of it. Talk to them. Witness to them. If I have to hear it every day, share the gospel with them, fine. Try to win them to the Lord and be a godly influence in their lives. If I'm talking to somebody on the street and the person is scantily clad, some gal, well, I'm going to watch my eyes as I speak to this person and talk to her about Jesus. Let's say I'm handing out tracts on a street corner, as I used to do a lot when I lived in the New York area in particular, and, you know, handing out tracts, and it'd be summer and people in all kinds of outfits. Here's some scantily clad gal, you know, seductive outfit. Well, she wants a tract. I'm going to talk to her about Jesus and look her in the eyes and not check her out, you know, obviously, and not think wrong thoughts. You're fine. But I'm not going to go to a movie to be entertained by some scantily clad girl and some seductive theme just because it's, well, it's good. Everybody liked the movie. And then, you know, constant profanity. Why would I do that? Why would I want to be defiled by the darkness? Why would I want to be compromised by it? It would be the same with gratuitous graphic violence. Now, I can be watching a documentary of some kind, and the documentary may have an element, you know, here's an interview with somebody and they use profanity and it's a documentary. Or here's some war documentary and in it you've got the casualties and the bodies just laying there ripped up. Again, that's something where I'm learning and I'm often being grieved and pained as opposed to entertained by. I'm not going to be entertained by anything that would defile me or entertained by something that would cause me to compromise a conviction or in that sense let go of tight fellowship with the Lord to be entertained by something that wouldn't be entertaining to him. It would be rather displeasing. At the same time, I recognize that God can work through Hollywood. I understand that and I believe it. I don't have the slightest indication that Mel Gibson is a true Christian or true follower of Jesus, nor was I personally a fan of the Passion of the Christ movie, and yet there are people who came to faith through it. I know of some, I've heard from some, that genuinely came to faith through Hollywood and, you know, a Catholic, but certainly a worldly man, Mel Gibson, putting this movie out. God can work through it. I would just encourage you, number one, to examine your life for any addictions. And if it's an addiction to entertainment, an addiction to movies, you need to break the power of that addiction. Addiction to sports, you need to break the power of these addictions. That's one thing. Second thing, you have to ask yourself, have you been defiled? Have your convictions been dragged down? Or have you become desensitized through the things that you watch and take in? And then, is it possible that God can work through one of these movies? Again, I didn't read The Hobbit. I haven't seen the movie. So honestly, I'm not offering any opinion here. And if someone said they saw it and was great and powerful, the Lord used it to touch their heart. The last thing I think is, oh, how could that come out of Hollywood? How can it possibly be? No, not thinking like that at all. I am wagering, though, that the great majority of born-again believers in America, especially the younger generation, are way too absorbed with media, be it internet, video games, Hollywood, TV, movies, than they are absorbed with the word. That's, well, certainly older believers too. And we need to freshly renew our love, passion, relationship for Jesus and his word. The more we do, the less interest we'll have in a lot of other things. That being the case, if you see The Hobbit, let me know what you think. And if you don't think you should, let me know why. All right. Out of time. Tomorrow, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, we'll be coming your way live. But can I ask you to stand with me? It's the end of the year. We could really use your help getting ready to go to Hong Kong, minister to mainland Chinese pastors who'll be coming to Hong Kong for special teaching and training, pouring into them the book of Jeremiah. Your gift of $50 will not only help me on this trip and help us with this radio broadcast, but we want to send you my commentary on Jeremiah. It comes together with a commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel by other scholars. So 900 pages, beautiful hardcover. My Jeremiah commentary is most of that book. The commentary plus 2 hours of DVD teaching I did on Jeremiah, not available to the general public. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. Again, your gift of $50 will get those resources for you. And hold my hands up in Hong Kong. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, do what you do with a clean conscience before the Lord. Simply be sure that you do not defile yourself just because you like it.